Welcome to the podcast of National Institute of Chemistry. You can relax and pour yourself a favorite drink from a nearby Erlenmeyer flask, Baker, oops, cup, because the days of complex scientific reading are behind us. We are here to provide you with engaging and accessible explanations of the latest discoveries. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Yufei Ma from the Department of Catalysis and Chemical Reaction Engineering at the National Institute of Chemistry. We'll be talking about their breakthrough research on improving catalysis for hydrogen production. Hi, Yufei.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. I would love to start by asking, how did you get involved in chemistry? How did your studies go? How did you land to also now work in Slovenia?
Okay. And first of all, I'm so thank you for your invitation to join the podcast. And my research is focused on the catalysis, especially focused on the energy-related catalytic process. And I studied my high school and university in China, and I studied chemistry or touched chemistry in the high school and kept on study on the university, and later is working at research and teaching on the chemistry, especially catalysis research field. And after that, and actually I initially, and I am so fascinated in the atom or molecular interaction each other. It's mean, in other words, it's a chemical reaction, is right. And I also fascinated the principle behind them. And after I working and doing the research, and I'm very enjoy in the building a new functional material or catalytic material and used it for the specifically chemical reaction. Yes, and to improve the efficiency and something. So like this one.
Very nice. Yeah, the chemistry is very interesting. There's so many options.
Yes, so thank you.
And do you enjoy something special additionally to being a scientist? Maybe some special sports, some special hobby that you like.
Actually, for the rest of work time, and I enjoy for reading book and reading, and I also enjoy the running. I running every day.
Wow! Yeah. Every day.
Every
That's
day.
Amazing.
But if the weather is allowed, if the weather is allowed, I will running every day. And when I go to a new city, for example, go to the Ljubljana, my first thing is to find a route for.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah. I will see the Google Maps and find a route. Yes, because my apartment is near the. How say Tivoli mountain?
Yeah, amazing.
Yes,
there are nice routes.
Yeah, so now I am running around the mountain every day like this one.
Amazing, that's very good. Also for the brain and for your research.
Yeah,
the paper we are discussing this time was published in very prestigious journal Advanced Materials, and the expert opinion for this work was provided by Dr. Kama Mustafa.
Dr. Yufei recently published a research article entitled Surface Single Atom Alloys for the Alkaline Hydrogen Evaluation Reaction, which appeared in the Journal of Advanced Materials. This work shows promising potential for further application of the electrochemical hydrogen evaluation reaction. The authors developed surface single atom alloys and used extensive material characterization techniques to investigate the catalyst and reaction kinetics. This is an interesting study in which the authors collected a unique data set using state-of-the-art methodology. These results could expand the knowledge on the rational development of high-performance catalysts in the future.
This was a very nice explanation of impact of your work. First, I would like to ask you, what area of research does this study relate to, and what are the potential applications?
Okay, and actually, my research is a one main research direction is for building the new novel catalyst based on the molybdenum carbide material, and we building a lot of catalyst based on this material. For example, the supported catalyst and the morphology control catalyst and the phase transition catalyst. And all of these catalysts we used into the energy related catalytic process. And in this paper, the catalytic reaction is the water splitting or the water electrolysis and to generate the hydrogen. Mm-hmm. And as we know, the hydrogen is a future green energy. If have some
clean energy
is have some potential. And but actually for this paper, the water electrolysis or the water splitting reaction is only a probe reaction to test our catalyst performance, or to let us look into the catalyst surface structure, and like this one. And actually, we already test our catalyst in other kind of reaction. For example, in the thermal catalysis, for example, in the reforming process, and for the hydrogenation process, mm-hmm. and other most important catalytic process in the industrial, in the chemical industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we think our catalyst have the potential use a lot of area.
Diverse fields, not only clean energy.
It's not only clean energy. Mm-hmm. And we also built some catalyst is similar with this one, but mm-hmm. Structure have some different, but not so much. And we use it for the hydrogenation, for example, in the oil industrial, and the crude oil after the distillation, and we will get some part of the oil. And this kind of oil, we can use the hydrogenation process and transfer this raw material to the high-value material. Mm-hmm. For example, we can transfer the heavy oil, we call the heavy oil, to the rubber oil. And this rubber oil, we can use this oil to generate the plastic or something.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it also can use this research field.
Oh, amazing. So really diverse, from oil as a basic component to produce something to the hydrogen field. Yeah. Because this can be used in many catalytical reactions.
Yeah, yes. Most of chemical process need the catalyst. And why we use the water splitting in this paper?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for water splitting is the water molecule is split to the hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
And the water molecule, hydrogen molecule, and the oxygen molecule is very easy. It's very simple. So it means we can use some characterization technique to easy to detect the molecular behavior on the catalytic surface. So if we use the oil or something, it's very difficult.
To have exact measurements and to know exactly what's going on in reaction. So first you start with something that you can measure precisely.
Yes,
right?
This is the fundamental research.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And what were some key motivation to explore this? Did you have some background on this previous studies, or did you just wanted to try new materials?
Oh, okay, like this one. And just as I mentioned, I'm focused on the carbide catalyst. And actually, a few years ago, my student is fabricate some catalyst is the it's similar with the catalyst in this paper, but it's not the same. And the catalyst is also the platinum PT supported on the molybdenum carbide surface. And we published some paper based on this catalyst. And I asked my student to reduce the content of PT. You know, PT is expensive for the industry.
Yes.
And one day, my student told me we get a very high active catalyst, and I just checked the date, and is correct or something, and we try to understand, or we try to imagine what is the reason for the high activity for the catalyst, and we spend some time on this topic, and we finally found that the high activity is generated the single atom on the catalyst, and yes, in this paper, the catalyst structure. So for the motivation, the first one is we want to build some catalyst for energy related, just as I say, the precise.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is we want to build some new material or new structure for not only for the catalysis, maybe this new structure also efficient for another research area, for example, battery or something.
Yeah.
Yes, for us is to building material, building new material, and to find the principle of the material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
give
the opportunity to other researchers to apply it in all sorts of fields.
Yeah. So the motivation, I think, is my curiosity to doing something. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, this when there is curiosity behind it, usually the best results happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
So now maybe we go to how the research looked like. How did you start? How does it look like to conduct such experiments? They are in the wet lab, of course. How does this material look like? How big they are?
You mean the material, what it look like?
Yes.
And just I send you the picture.
I had this photo we will publish.
I saw the picture. And We grow this kind of catalyst. You use some chemical precise, synthesized precise, and we grow this catalyst on the nickel form.
Uh-huh.
Yes, nickel form, and we used this miser is due to have two advantages. The first one is the catalyst grow on the nickel form can increase the mechanical strength for the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is the catalyst grow on the nickel form, we call it is a self-supported catalyst. And for this kind of catalyst, and due to the nickel form have a lot of prone structure, so it can expose more active side for the catalytic reaction.
Mm.
Yes, and it's like in the picture.
It looks very foamous with the very many holes inside.
Yeah.
So you're gaining with a lot of holes. You're gaining a lot of surface.
Yes,
where
a lot
you
of surface.
Can place the catalyst.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's more. Make a more active side to contact the reactant in the reaction. Yes.
Okay.
More easy to contact with the active side and the molecular. Yeah.
Do you need some special conditions?
No
oxygen or vacuum or something, or it can be done.
No. But when we synthesize this kind of catalyst, we use a very high temperature to high temperature, almost I remember over 700 centigrade. Yet very high temperature, and this catalyst is under the methane and hydrogen mix atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So the synthesize process is a little dangerous, actually.
It's a little dangerous.
Yes. So I asked my friend, my student, when you synthesize your catalyst, because the catalytic reaction is water splitting, is at the room temperature and the room under the a normal atmosphere, and so it's no dangerous. It's
mm-hmm.
very easy. But I ask my student, if you synthesize your catalyst, you cannot leave your setup.
Yes.
You must be keeping there to watch the temperature or the gas or have some abnormal thing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's very first. Yeah.
Great. And then, yeah, the catalytic reaction happens in water, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it take to prepare the catalyst, and how long does it take to conduct experiments?
You mean how long it takes for the synthesize a catalyst?
Mm-hmm.
One catalyst from the start to the final product, maybe 3 or 4 days. Or 4 days.
Yeah, and then once you put it in the water,
and for the test of the catalytic performance, we put the catalyst in water.
Yeah,
and if you see the picture, you can find behind the catalyst, behind the catalyst have a mantle setup.
Okay.
Yeah, this is our reactor. It's our
reactor. Where you put inside this foam.
I put inside, and in this reactor, we have the inlet and outlet. The inlet is into the water,
mm-hmm.
pure water or the acidic or alkaline condition water, whatever. And the outlet. And when I put a catalyst inside, and I use the electronic station to detect the potential change or the current change.
Yes.
And we put the potential on the catalyst surface because the nickel foam is conducted.
Yeah.
And the current will transfer from the electronic station workstation to the nickel foam, and the nickel foam transfer the catalyst surface. And the electron on the catalyst surface and will contact with the molecular, or especially for the water molecular, and after the molecular absorbed on the catalyst surface, and the hydrogen and oxygen bond will be weakened, and after the electron transfer this bond, the bond is break,
mm-hmm.
and to generate hydrogen.
Yeah,
and the left oxygen, the oxygen atom. And two oxygen atoms is bonding and become the oxygen gas.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, like this one.
This is what you're detecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have any limitations and challenges at the work? You already told us they have to be very difficult. Very precise while preparing the catalyst.
As we discussed, and actually a few years ago, we already found this kind of catalyst. So we spent a lot of time. We spent a lot of time to figure out what is the surface structure and what is the relationship between the surface structure and the catalytic performance. And before, at the beginning, This is a new type of catalyst, so we don't have any model to imagine what is the surface structure. So we spend a lot of time, spend a lot of funding, and to doing more advanced characterization technique, and we building a lot of model structure by the DFT calculation,
mm-hmm.
to look into what is the really active side, and what is the surrounding environment around the active side, and what is the electronic structure, and like this one. So we, for this paper, we spent almost 3 or 4 years. Actually, in this period, and we almost 2 years is to figure out what is the structure, and more to doing more characterization. And if you see this paper, we collaborate with a lot of university or the institute, mm-hmm. in China, in Japan or something. Yes, we work together to figure out the survey structure.
It's very important to know what exactly is going on a structural atomistic level.
Because we want to know the original reason for the high activity.
Exactly, mm-hmm. because if we go now to the main findings and results, you really produce much higher activity
than
the previous catalyst.
Yeah, yeah. What's the difference between my catalyst, our catalyst, with the traditional catalyst? Yes, I like this one.
Yeah. What was the difference? Like few times better?
Actually, you mean for our catalyst with another catalyst?
Yeah.
It's like this one. Actually, for the industrial industrial process, for example, for the hydrogenation reaction, the traditional catalyst is supported catalyst. It's the metal nanoparticle. Non-metal nanoparticle is put onto the support. The support is maybe oxide or carbide or active carbon, and for this kind of catalyst, you know, for the catalysis process, the only the surface is take part in the reaction. For this kind of catalyst, only the surface metal atom take part into the catalytic reaction. And for the nanoparticle, the inside metal atom is useless for the reaction.
Yeah.
So in recent years, and a lot of researchers to figure out to increase the utility of the metal atom is me. So we reduce the nanoparticle size. When we reduce the nanoparticle size, it means more metal atom can take part into the reaction, as can increase the efficiency of the catalyst, is right. And eventually, and when you reduce the reduce the nanoparticle size smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually, and we can synthesize the catalyst. The metal atom is dispersed on the support surface atomically, is individually. We call it a single atom catalyst. Okay, but for the traditional single atom catalyst, usually the single atom, the interaction between the single atom and the support have the strong interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It have the strong interaction. Now we call it a mantle support strong interaction effect. And for some reaction, this effect have a good performance for improve the catalytic performance. And but for some reaction, for some reaction, maybe this reaction need the weak interaction between the atom and the support.
Oh,
so the traditional single atom catalysis cannot catalyze this kind of reaction more efficiently. And another type of single atom catalyst is single alloy kind of catalyst. And for this kind of catalyst can provide the weak interaction. But this kind of catalyst synthesis is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you synthesize one time, maybe need 2 or 3 weeks. Much longer. And this kind of catalyst stability is not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so for our catalyst, we combine the advantage of the traditional single atom and the single atom alloy catalyst. We grow a very thin alloy,
mm-hmm,
on the molybdenum carbide surface, and this layer of this alloy layer maybe only 2 or 3 atom size.
Right, this is very thin. Yeah, 2-3 atom.
Yeah, the single atom PT platinum, mm-hmm, is grow on the alloy surface. It means is we have support to tuning the the single PT, the interaction between the support, and we also have the alloy to generate the weak interaction. So based on our catalyst structure, we can tuning the interaction between the PT single atom and the support, and we can change the alloy layer thickness and, uh-huh, to tuning the PT interaction.
Nice.
And to use two different reaction.
So you can adjust very according to the reaction.
Yeah. Yes, lactation.
Plus, I imagine if you use these thin layers, you're using also less ingredients, less materials. That's amazing.
Yes, it's like this one.
And how do you see the impact of this work? Will it be more first probably for other researchers to develop further or to try in different applications?
I'm already discuss we have tested this catalyst in another reaction and in this paper we only test the synthesized the synthesis of the layer 2 or 3 atomic layer, and we can increase the layer synthesis and to generate a new catalyst structure, and we also can change the support. Now I use the molybdenum carbide as the support. We can use the iron carbide or cobalt carbide or something. We also can generate the structure and the type of catalyst. So for our catalyst, we build a new type of single atom catalyst, and this catalyst have a lot. I think with the more and more research and study, it can build a family of single atom catalyst used in the different research area, especially for the catalysis, and we also can building a more catalyst based on my research idea, and to get a deeper and deeper to understand this structure, how to tuning and how to tuning as we want to do, and how to affect absorption or activation behavior or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we start building a catalyst family. Yes, we can build a lot of
catalyst family, different.
Yes.
Many different
from this
knowledge on. That's amazing. Do you maybe have some other anecdote to share with us? Something special that happened?
Actually, in this research or in this paper, not so funny thing, but for the publication, one thing is very interesting. And for the publication, I don't know the reason. And after publish, and we found the editor is mistakenly write wrong corresponding address. And we have a collaborator from the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, and the editor write my name, not only my name, even in the blast is also we belong to the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, and this makes some mistaken or something. Is my friend asked me, "Oh, you moved to Hong Kong or something?" Yeah, so we spent a lot of time to convert. Conversation with the editor to correct it. Yes.
Yeah, it happens. All sorts of
things,
really.
Because you know, after we publish paper in the advanced material, we're very happy.
Mm.
And we even didn't check our corresponding address.
Yes.
And until my friend told me you moved to Hong Kong, I just checked it. Wow. Yeah, actually it's when I noticed this problem, actually it's already online 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to realize that the address is wrong.
I think this is good information for all the researchers, because many times
when we publish the paper,
we're like so happy to the moon. Oh, the paper is published. You don't go check.
Yeah, you must be checking it.
Details,
and when I noticed this one, I first thing to check my manuscript. If maybe it's my mistake, I read the wrong. No. My manuscript is correct.
Yes.
It's an editor problem.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. It's the proof that the human was behind. Not the machine, because machines probably like wouldn't make the mistake.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for sharing all this knowledge with us, and congratulations on the paper and. I will be very happy to see your further work.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
That wraps up this episode of Papers Illuminated Člankarnica. We'll be back next month with more discoveries, more discussions, and another look into the world of cutting-edge research.